Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Well, if you're new to Relevant, one thing you need to know about us is that at Relevant, we really exist for one thing, and we care about one thing more than any other thing. Volunteer staff, what's that one thing? Transformation. Yeah. At Relevant, our mission is to help transform people into everything God's created us to be. And we exist for this one purpose because this is the mission that Jesus came to the world for. Jesus himself said that the entire reason that God sent him was to seek and to save those who were lost, those who have a broken relationship with Holy Creator God because of their violation of sin against him. And that's you and 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 me and every single person. Jesus was clear that our Heavenly Father sent him on a mission to save us from the penalty of our violation of sin against him, to forgive us for our sin, to restore and redeem and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and the next, to offer us eternal life, and to transform us now into everything God's created us to be. That's what Jesus gave his life on the cross for, and that's what Jesus rose from the grave to do and prove that only he can do. And before Jesus physically left this earth, after his death and resurrection, before he physically ascended, he called us, his church, his followers, to be his body and carry on his mission of seeking and saving those who are lost by sharing the good news of his transforming love, forgiveness, mercy, grace, salvation, hope, and peace with them. For those of us who are followers of Christ, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives, this is not just what we're called to do. It's actually who we are. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, we, those of us who are followers of Christ, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, the church, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. As followers of Christ, we are Christ's ambassadors sent on a mission to carry on the mission that Jesus came for, Jesus died for, Jesus rose from the grave for. We're sent on a mission to transform the world for Jesus. We're sent on a mission to seek and save the lost. We're sent on the mission to impact people for Jesus. It's what we're called to do to follow Jesus because it's who we are as followers of Jesus. Listen, this is so important. You have to know this. We can't follow Jesus without being relentless about reaching people for Jesus. We can't follow Jesus without being relentless about reaching people for Jesus, which means to be more transformed into everything God's created you to be, you and I must follow Jesus in this way. And if you truly have put your faith in Jesus, if you truly ask Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins and leader your life, you'll want to and you'll feel like you ought to. Because the writers of the New Testament tell us the moment we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, takes residence within us. And Jesus' Spirit in us gives us the desire, the ability, the passion, and the power to impact people for Jesus. And I don't just believe that because of what the writers of the New Testament communicated. I believe it because I've experienced it. I put my faith in Jesus right before my junior year of high school. And then a year later, I was voted captain of the football team. And as captain of the football team, I had two big goals. Goal number one was that our team would win the state championship. That did not happen. Goal number two was that every single person on my football team would put their faith in Jesus before the football season was over. That didn't happen either. I didn't reach everyone on my football team, but I did reach one. His name was Lyman Beatty. And I will never forget sitting with my friend Lyman when Lyman chose to put his faith in Jesus and prayed to put his faith in Jesus. And that moment, sitting with Lyman by myself in my house, that moment changed Lyman's life and it changed Lyman's eternity. But it also changed my life. In that moment, I've never felt so alive. In that moment, praying with Lyman for him to put his faith in Jesus, never felt so much purpose, so much fulfillment, so much joy. In that moment, I've never felt closer to God. That moment, praying with Lyman to put his faith in Jesus, God transformed me through it in a way that I don't think it would have happened in any other way. That moment, it changed my life from that point forward. And in that moment, here's what I learned and have learned every day ever since, that the more relentless we are about reaching people for Jesus, the more we experience Jesus transforming power and presence in our lives. As followers of Christ, as a follower of Christ, you are an ambassador of Christ sent on a mission to reach people for Jesus. So let me ask you, are you living your identity? Are you living your purpose? If not, what's stopping you? And many things might be stopping you, but one of the most common things I hear that stops people from doing it is, well, I don't know how. I don't know what to say. And I get that. We feel the pressure to have like the perfect words, the right answers, a well-timed Bible verse, to make good arguments. And listen, while our words do matter, something else matters much, much, much more. And that is our actions. You've heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. And we all know it to be true. Our parents, our spouses, our teammates, our employees, our bosses, actions speak louder than their words. That's true for them, and it's true for you. In every area of your life, at work, on your team, in your home, in your neighborhood, your actions are always speaking. They're either reinforcing your words or they're drowning out your words. And listen, if you hear nothing else I say today, hear this. This is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. Your actions always speak louder than your words. Your actions always speak louder than your words, especially when it comes to impacting people for Jesus. The way you live every day is either pointing people to Jesus or pushing them away from him. Your and my actions are the precursors to whether someone wants to hear our words or hopes we keep our mouths shut, because how we live our lives is more important than what we say. Whether we like it or not, as followers of Christ, people are watching us. They're watching the way we live long before they're listening to the words that we say. And how we live is either building or breaking our credibility. It's either opening the door to share the life-transforming good news of Jesus, or it's slamming the door shut. How you and I live our lives every single day at home, in class, at work, on our team, online, is our loudest message. And you already know that to be true, because you've known someone who claimed to be a follower of Christ, but the way they lived made you want nothing to do with them. And on the flip side, you've known a follower of Christ whose life stood out in such a compelling way that it made you lean in. And why? Because your actions always speak louder than your words. When it comes to reaching people for Jesus, we're too focused on what to say. The truth is, we need to be more focused on how we live every single day, because that's what people are really paying attention to, and that's what this series is all about. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at three practical ways that you can impact people for Jesus every day simply by how you live, simply by your actions. And listen, this is not an all-inclusive list. They're just simply three actions that all of us, no matter your age, your personality, your season of life, that all of us can choose to do to live out every day right where we are, at work, at school, on our team, in your neighborhood, at the gym, even in the checkout line at Target. Regardless of how long you've been a follower of Christ, regardless of how many Bible verses you know, regardless of how big or little of faith you have, if you apply what we're talking about in this series, you will more fully live out who you are as an ambassador of Christ. People will see that there's something different about you. It will give you credibility to share the good news of Jesus with your words. You will impact for people more for Jesus. It will not necessarily make people want to believe what you believe, but it will make them want to know you. And as you know, influence happens within the context of relationship. If people don't want to have a relationship with you, you cannot and will not influence them, no matter how good your words are. Now, you need to know, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. One of the reasons I chose to do this series right now is because Easter is only a few weeks away. And as Misty said a little bit earlier, Easter is one of the best opportunities to invite someone. I don't understand it, and I don't know why. But for some reason, people don't have a relationship with Jesus, kind of are cynical of the church, aren't a part of a church. For some reason, they are more open to come to a church service on Easter than any other time of the year, and they simply need invited. And what that means is you can impact someone for Jesus simply by inviting them to one of our Easter gatherings. So once again, I challenge you to reach one this Easter. Invite one person who doesn't know Jesus to come sit with you this Easter. Living out what we're talking about in this series, it will not necessarily make someone want to accept your invitation, but it can definitely make them not want to accept it. Because your actions always speak louder than your words. Let me say really quick something to those of you who are not followers of Christ. Those of you who've never put your faith in Jesus, you've never asked Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins, leader of your life, you're kind of figuring this whole thing out, maybe kind of skeptical of it, maybe even kind of cynical of the whole church thing. I just want to let you know, I am so glad you're here. I know you're surprised you're here, but I'm so glad you're here. And let me tell you, you can apply so much of what we're talking about over the next few weeks, and I think you should apply it. Not to impact people for Jesus. I know that you don't have a desire to impact people for Jesus. But because if you do apply what we're talking about throughout the series, you will improve the lives of the people around you. And you will make a positive impact at home, at school, on your team, in your company. And I believe that's something you want to do. Now, before we dive into the first way that we're going to talk about today, I want to talk about something that most of us hate and that many people are afraid of. And that is darkness. When I was a kid, I was terrified of the darkness. I was born in 1979, and in 1983, the movie E.T. came out. You guys remember the movie? I swear on everything that's holy, I believe that E.T. lived in my basement. And so when the lights were off in my basement, I mean, I sprinted from one end of the basement to the other to get out of there as fast as I could, because I was for sure that long neck was, falling, and he was going to be chasing me. I mean, I was terrified of that. Listen, none of us enjoy the dark. It's disorienting. It's uncomfortable. In the dark, we lose like all sense of direction. We don't know what's right in front of us. We don't know what's around us. We don't know where to go. That's why the first thing we do when we walk into a dark room, all of us, is flip the light switch on. And why when the power goes out in our homes, we just feel completely overwhelmed. And it's not just physical darkness we don't like. We don't like the emotional and the spiritual kind of darkness either. And we all know that kind of darkness when we see it. We all know that kind of darkness when we feel it. It's in the tension at work, the gossip in your friend group, the division in your home, the despair on your social media feed, the lies from someone you trusted, the hate, cynicism, constant negativity, injustice, hopelessness, suffering, pain. And in the midst of that darkness, Jesus calls us, his followers, his church, to live differently than the rest of the world does. In the midst of the darkness, we have maybe the best opportunity to impact people for Jesus, not through our words, but through our actions. Not by being louder in volume, but being louder in presence. Not by echoing the darkness, but by disrupting it, by being who Jesus said we already are in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, Jesus is toward the beginning of this most famous sermon he ever gave called the Sermon on the Mount when he said this to his followers. He said, you are. Once again, it's an identity statement. It's a purpose statement. You are, he's saying, as someone who has put their faith in me, asking me to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life, here's who you now are. And we saw Paul, he identified us as Christ ambassadors. Paul was building off of who Jesus said we are here. Jesus here said, you are, here it is, the light of the world. And that's not a command. That's not a suggestion. That's a declaration of our identity, of our purpose. Now, as you know, light affects and light influences everything that's exposed to it. And the darker it is, the more influence that light has. And those of you who are familiar with the words of Jesus, you may find this statement from Jesus that you are the light of the world. You may find this statement from Jesus a little confusing because Jesus also said that I, referring to himself, he said, I am the light of the world. See, Jesus claimed that he is the peace, the joy, the life, the healing, the reconciliation, the justice, the grace, the love that this dark world needs, that you and I need. Jesus claimed that he is the light that breaks through the darkness of brokenness, despair, disease, death, fear, hatred, and injustice. Jesus claimed that he is the light of forgiveness, redemption, salvation that defeats the darkness, the penalty of sin. Jesus claimed that he is the only light that can transform us into everything God's created us to be and transform the world into everything God intended it to be. Jesus claimed that he is the light that is your hope and my hope, that he is the light that is the hope of the world. And being the light of the world, Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world, that is a huge claim to make. But Jesus did more than claim it. He proved it when he defeated the ultimate darkness, when he defeated death. When Jesus rose from the grave, he proved that he is the light of the world. So the question is, well, how can we be the light of the world if Jesus is the light of the world? Well, by Jesus saying that you and we are the light of the world, he's communicating that you are my body. You are my hands and my feet in this world today. He's communicating that my light, my peace, my grace, my mercy, my forgiveness, my love, my salvation is made known, is seen, and is felt through you. He's communicating that my light shines into the darkness of this world through you. He's communicating that I am the hope of the world and you are my agent of hope, my ambassadors. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. It's who you are. It's your identity. It's your purpose. And now that you know that, here's what else you need to know. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And we go, well, of course. Like, because everyone can see the town that's on the hill because the light coming off the town. He says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Now, in first century homes, we all know in first century homes, there was not electricity. First century homes, you got to think of like one room, a one room house. And what they would do is they put a light in the middle of the house, in the middle of the room, a lamp in the middle of the room. Then they light it and it would give light to the rest of the house. He said, so you don't put a light in the middle of the room and then cover it with a bowl. That would serve no purpose. He's saying instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house because that's the purpose of a light. In the same way, just like that, let your light shine before others. He's saying, you're the light of the world, so don't hide it. Be who you are today in such a way that they, that people living in and experiencing darkness may hear your powerful words. Nope. That they may see how many Bible verses you know. Nope. That they may be persuaded by your soundproof arguments? Nope. That they may see your good deeds. Jesus is saying, your actions always speak louder than your words. And your lives and your actions were meant to be seen as a light, not hidden. And here's the outcome, that by our actions, by how we live, people living in darkness will glorify, will recognize, will turn to, will be in awe of, will praise your Father in heaven. According to Jesus, the best way people who don't know Jesus, people who are living in the despair of darkness will see Jesus and potentially want to put their faith in Jesus is by us, Jesus' followers, his church, being who we are and shining the light of his love, joy, peace, redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace, salvation through how we live. How the transforming light of Jesus shines into the darkness of this world is through you and through me. We are the light of the world. And here's the practical application Jesus was alluding to. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright. One of the most powerful ways to impact people for Jesus every day in any environment, any circumstance, any relationship, any situation is simply this. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright. In the midst of darkness, we don't need to be louder. We just need to be who we are and shine brighter. And come on, let's be honest. For many of us, when we find ourselves in the midst of darkness, we don't. Instead, we respond in one of two ways. First way, we often hide. We isolate, we pull away from, we try to blend in because the darkness, it feels uncomfortable and scary and intimidating. But Jesus said it makes no sense to light a lamp and then cover it up. That's not what light is for. And yet, that's how so many of us live, hiding the light, hiding our light, and then wondering why we're not experiencing the power and presence of God in our lives, and wondering why there keeps being more and more and more darkness in the world. As the light of the world, you were never meant to be hidden. Your life and your actions were meant to be seen in such a way that people see, experience, and are influenced by the light of Jesus through you. The second way we often respond is by trying to fight darkness with darkness. And we respond to the darkness of hate, oftentimes with hate. Negativity with negativity. Gossip with gossip, anger with anger, unforgiveness with unforgiveness, lies with lies, pain with pain, payback with payback. But you know this, we can't overcome darkness with darkness. Darkness does not affect, darkness does not influence, and darkness does not transform darkness. Light does. Light is what transforms. Light is what stands out. Light is what gets noticed. Light is what makes a difference. Light is what disrupts and overcomes darkness. Light is different than darkness. And what that means is you can't make a difference if your life doesn't look different. You can't make a difference if your life doesn't look different. And come on, the darker it is, the more impact light has. When I turn this flashlight on, in this room with all these lights, you can hardly notice it. It makes no difference. But everything changes when these lights turn off. Go ahead and turn those lights off. Oh, and every single person I'm shining this light into right now is flinching backwards. Aren't you? Oh, that, what? David's walking out. And you know why we can see it? Because of the light. Man, so get this. Just listen to me while I keep doing this. We're surrounded by darkness every day, aren't we? And we complain about the darkness every single day. And we wish something would change about the darkness every single day. All in the midst of forgetting who we are because of who lives in us. And so we hide and we put it under a bowl and it keeps getting darker and darker and darker in the world. Do you guys know that we probably live in the darkest time in human history?
which means we have the greatest opportunity to make an impact for Jesus. Because the darker it is, the more people desire to see and feel the light. You can turn those lights back on. So don't hide. Don't give in to the darkness. Don't blend in. Be who you are. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright. You are the light of the world. To impact people for Jesus at work, in your friend group, at school, in your neighborhood, on your team, at home, wherever there's darkness, shine bright. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright with your attitude. Wherever the darkness of negativity and cynicism and complaining exists, shine bright with a positive, joyful, grateful, hope-filled attitude. People won't only take notice of that, they will be impacted by it. And anyone who knows Joseph Petrosini knows this. Joseph Petrosini is on our paid staff here at Relevant. He's our quipping director department. And no matter how dark the environment, no matter how dark everyone else's attitude is, how dark the negativity is, how dark the hopelessness is, Joseph's positive, grateful, hopeful attitude shines bright. His attitude alone has impacted so many people for Jesus, has impacted many of you, has impacted me. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright with your words. We live in a world where words are weapons. People are torn down every day by the darkness of sarcasm, gossip, criticism, belittling words, both verbally and online. And every word that you and I speak either brings life or death to someone's soul. So shine bright and speak words of life, hope, peace, kindness, truth, and love. Shine bright by doing what the Apostle Paul instructs us to do in Ephesians 4, to only speak, only type, only post words that are beneficial for building others up. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright with your reactions. Hurtful anger, divisive arguing, retaliation, violence, hatefulness is darkness. And whenever you feel that darkness welling up inside of you, shine bright by reacting with grace, mercy, peace, and forgiveness. That light shines extremely bright. That light makes an impact. And listen, some of you need to hear what I say next. You need to try less to win every argument and try more to shine bright. Because your need to be right is writing people right out of seeing and experiencing the good news of Jesus. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright with your integrity. Because the world is filled with the darkness of immorality, self-centeredness, hidden motives, blurred lines, cutting corners, bending the truth. So shine bright. Shine bright in being the same person you are in private that you are in public, and the same person in public that you are in private. Shine bright by being trustworthy and honest and authentic. Shine bright by not compromising what's important for what's immediate. Shine bright by following Jesus in every area of your life, even when it costs you, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's uncomfortable, and even when it's inconvenient, because that's different. That's light in darkness. Wherever there's light, shine bright with your compassion. Whenever you see people in the darkness of suffering, pain, hurt, despair, loneliness, depression, injustice, and need, shine bright by serving them. Shine bright by caring for them. Shine bright by meeting their needs. Shine bright by giving generously. Shine bright by being kind. Shine bright by asking, what can I do to help? Sometimes the way you can shine brightest is simply by just being with people. Not worrying about what to say. Don't say a word, but just by being with them as they walk through the darkness of the shadow of death. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright with your choices. As a follower of Christ, people are watching what you and I choose to do and what you and I choose not to do. And in those daily choices to live for, those daily choices to follow Jesus in small, faithful ways, those small choices shine bright in the darkness over time. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright. Most importantly, with love. According to Jesus, loving people just as he first loved us is the greatest apologetic. According to Jesus, loving people with the same grace, mercy, forgiveness, patience, compassion, gentleness, intentionality, selfless sacrifice, kindness that he loved us with is how the world will come to know, see, feel, and experience him, because that type of love shines brightest in the darkness. This right here, this is not an exhaustive list. It's not an exhaustive list. But if we all shine bright in just these few ways, it would change everything. To those of you, just want to talk real quick, to those of you who have never put your faith in Jesus. If you've been hurt by one of us who call ourselves a follower of Christ, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that we haven't lived this way. I'm so sorry that we forgot who we are. And we'll never be perfect at it. But at Relevant, we're committed to do everything we can to be more transformed into everything God's created us to be. And I hope you don't let our imperfections keep you from putting your faith in the perfect one. Because Jesus loves you. He came for you. He died for you. He rose from the grave for you. He came to restore and redeem and reconcile the broken relationship that your sin created with your heavenly Father. And all you have to do to receive that is put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. And today, if for some reason you feel a prompting to do that, an urge to do that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus when I pray in just a second. But for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, Jesus says to you and to me, wherever there's darkness, shine bright. But in order to do it, in order to live out who we are, in order to shine bright in the darkness, we have to guard our hearts from the darkness. The writer of the Old Testament book of Proverbs said it this way: above all else, said this is of vital importance, guard your heart, for everything you do, all your actions flows from it. Our actions always speak louder than our words, and our actions flow from our hearts. So we must guard our hearts. In order to guard our hearts from darkness, we have to continually be transformed by the light, by Jesus, by staying connected to him. And you know this, right? Like if I had a light bulb in my hand, like how does a light bulb stay lit? A light bulb stays lit by being connected to the socket. If you remove the light bulb from the socket, the light is not full of light anymore. The light bulb does not serve a purpose. The light bulb should just be thrown away. Jesus says to you and to me, stay connected to me every single day. If you disconnect, you're going to be filled with darkness, and therefore you can't be the light of the world because your actions flow from your heart. And you've been a part of Relevant for any period of time, you've heard me say 1,000 times, how we stay connected to Jesus is by following him as the leader of our lives, one next step at a time. To impact people for Jesus. To reach people for Jesus. To transform the world for Jesus. To be the light of the world wherever there's darkness. Shine bright. So let me ask you, where's there darkness in your world? How can you shine bright? Wherever it is, and however you can, imagine if you did. Imagine what could happen in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships, at school, in your company, in your neighborhood, on your team, in our community. Imagine the impact it would make. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright, because your actions always speak louder than your words. Now, to close out, I just want to challenge some of you to do something if you haven't done it already. At Relevant, we've got these fun little, you can't see it, just looks like a white piece of paper, but these little Relevant R logo car decal stickers that go in your back window.
And it's fun. Like, a lot of you have these on your cars, and it's fun to drive around town and see someone with one of these R's on their car and pull up and be like, hey, and I'm waving at you, and you're like, oh, crap! It's the guy I see on stage. Like, it's fun for me. So it's just fun seeing, you know, each other around and knowing, you know, who's acting like a jerk out there. You know, it's good. It's a good time. But so if you don't have one of these on your car, I want to challenge you to put one in your car, not just because it's fun to see other relevant people, but for another reason. This is going to help you practice shine bright. Because one of the darkest places in the world is on them roads. And we get the darkness welling up inside of us on them roads. So the next time someone cuts you off, flips you off, honks at you, you have one of these on your back window, remember who you represent. Remember who you represent. This is going to help you practice doing that. In that moment, think about, what do people think of me and of our church when they see that R on that window, by how I'm acting right now, because they can't see your, they can't hear your words. All they can see are your actions in that car. I hope the next time when people are cutting us off and they do something stupid or we make a mistake and people see the way that we drive, just by our actions, people, and they see these in the back window, people think, man, those people from Relevant, those are some of the best people I've ever seen in my life. Simply by how they treat me when I acted like an idiot driving. So it'll help you practice. And some of you are going, I can't do this because I'm too aggressive of a driver. Some people have told me they won't put this on. Listen, you don't get more aggressive of a driver than me. All right? Like, I get it. So if you're going, I don't want to put this on my window because I'm too aggressive of a driver and I don't want to see who I represent, I'm just going to tell you this. That doesn't stop in that car. There is something about you that you want to hide your light under the bowl. Because you just want to live any way you want to live. And if you're a follower of Christ, that's not who you are any longer. So remove the bowl and shine bright. You can get one of these if you don't have one. Go to the next sip area on your way out. We have a whole stack of them. Grab one, put it on your car, and make it really uncomfortable for you for the rest of the week. Dear Lord, I just pray that as followers of Christ, we live who we are. You're the light of the world. You're the hope of this world, and you've chosen to be the light of the world through us. You've called us the light of the world, and so I pray that we, wherever there's darkness in our lives, we choose to shine bright, shine bright, shine bright, shine bright, shine bright. I pray that people's lives are impacted through that. I pray that as we invite people to Easter, as we're shining bright, people just accept that invitation, and because of them coming, their lives and their eternities are forever changed. Lord, for anyone who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, if they feel a prompting and a stirring to do that right now, I pray that right now, quietly where they're at, either in this room or at home, they choose to quietly pray to put their faith in you, Jesus, that right now they confess their need for a Savior because of their sin. They declare Jesus. They believe you're the Savior of the world because of your death and resurrection. And right now they ask you to be their Savior. Right now they put their faith in you, asking you to be the forgiver of their sins. And they declare in this moment that they want to follow you as the leader of their lives, as their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we'd love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these Relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.